Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. It is a wonderful Wednesday morning over here, May 15th, the very tail end of restaurant season, as we've talked about for months now over here on Jump in Tucson, that we are past the hump of the U of A graduation and Mother's Day lining up this year on the exact same weekend. I actually had a meeting yesterday with Michael Guyman from the Tucson Metro Chamber, and we have promised to get together with whomever is the new University of Arizona president and make that one of our talking points, quite frankly, a letter to the new U of A president that would say, please make the university graduation and Mother's Day on opposite weekends, signed the entire service industry in Tucson, Arizona. Lots of big news going on in restaurants in Tucson this week. This happens to be sort of the Black Monday. We've talked about that one as well, too. Sort of at the end of the NFL season, the Monday afterwards, all the head coaches start to get fired. Well, we're on the other side of season two, and you're going to start to hear, unfortunately, about restaurant closures. And while certainly I don't want to celebrate that, in fact, it's something that's quite lamentable here in Tucson, it is an economic reality of business in the Old Pueblo. If you haven't been busy and profitable from October through mid-May, that outlook from basically May until about October is not going to be all that sunny. And you may end up deciding to close your doors. The first and probably most famous closure that you've heard of is going to be Magpies on 4th Avenue. A very sad fact, a restaurant that's been around for over 30 years in the Old Pueblo over here. 30 years. Again, if you have made it 30 years in the restaurant business in Tucson, you have first and foremost done something right. They should be hanging your jersey and the Restaurant Hall of Fame up from the rafters and thanking you for competing and surviving in an industry that's got such a high failure rate. And so certainly the folks at Magpies have nothing to be sad about with that one, with the exception of course, losing yet another restaurant on 4th Avenue as well, too, an area that is continuously economically challenged as well, too. Making national news this week, however, is the pending bankruptcy of Red Lobster. Now, here on Jump in Tucson, we tend to focus on the local, right? Red Lobster isn't really a concept that I generally talk about, but we're talking about one of the largest restaurant chains in the United States, 650 units. And they've had a stormy economic forecast for really the last few years. Their ownership group, Thai Union Company, has been looking to offload their shares for some time over here as full-service restaurants mixed with high seafood costs and high labor costs are really a recipe for failure, and you're seeing this happen on a national level. Does this mean that the Red Lobster up at the Oro Valley Marketplace will close tomorrow? No, of course not. These sort of bankruptcy sales tend to keep these restaurants open for some time. But it shows how difficult this industry is, that even when a big player like that, with the buying power that they have, can't make it across the country, how can the local guys compete? Certainly something not easy. Now, as we look at what's happening on the good news on the restaurant front, we do have a couple openings to announce. Real Good Brunch Company opening up this week at Alvernon and 22nd. That group happens to also own a number of restaurants downtown, including Cruda and La Chingada. And we're basically seeded as well by Rio Nuevo money. And so I think this could be a really good thank you and a note of how Rio Nuevo is working as well, too, to help out a young couple grow. And they're opening up a brunch restaurant called Real Good Brunch Company at Alvernon and 22nd. So do go take a peek at that one. And then other restaurant news as well, too. Sace, the well-known Mexican restaurant group here in Tucson, Jake and Erica, fantastic operators, have announced that they're going to open up a restaurant on Tanga Verde, just down the street from us on the Maverick at the Plaza Shops, right behind where the Cow Pony and Zio Pepe is. We're going to get a Seis Cuatro, as it seems. And so I'm pretty excited to see that one coming up as well, too. But take note, restaurants like Seis aren't full-service restaurants, right? Like, this is a wait-in-line sort of Chipotle style, even though there's alcohol. And you're seeing more and more of this coming up in our society. And a lot of this has to do with the cost of full-service restaurants. as the industry anxiously awaits the potential vote from the Senate in Arizona on SCR 1040. Those of you that haven't been paying attention to this one, which is probably most of my listenership out there, this happens to be the Tipped Worker Protection Act, and it's a reactionary move by the restaurant industry to try to prevent a group called Raise the Wage Arizona to get rid of both the tipped server wage and to bring Arizona's minimum wage up to $18 an hour by January 1st, 2027. This might be the death knell to the full service restaurant industry if this group is able to succeed with Raise the Wage being a ballot initiative. SCR 1040 would be yet another ballot initiative. There are currently six that have been referred to the ballot by the state government. These two would add eight. You're probably going to end up with 12 to 15 after the budget is cleared in Arizona. We're going to see a number of additional ballot initiatives make their way into what's going to be a very, very lengthy, lengthy ballot here. And that's something that I think is unfortunate for all voters, except for possibly the run-back voting machine company or the paper companies that are printing those ballots. Those guys are about to cash in because there is going to be an awful lot to read on that ballot for you guys. Now, I think that it's safe to say that people that have worked in the service industry are people that have really got a great understanding of human nature, and they make wonderful career choices as they move outside of the service industry. I'll read a quote here from Anthony Bourdain, the late great Anthony Bourdain, a sort of a patron saint amongst restaurateurs here, not just in Arizona, but nationwide. And he said, "You can always tell when a person has worked in a restaurant. There is an empathy that can only be cultivated by those who have stood between a hungry mouth and a $28 pork chop. A special understanding of the way a motley group of misfits can be a family." And I think there's a lot to learn from quotes for that, like that, because ultimately people that have worked in this industry, that have done battle with everybody in society in some capacity, have learned so many things in life and become so much more multifaceted. When we come back after the break, our guest is going to be Steve Spain. Steve is running for Pima County Supervisor District 1. He actually comes out of the hospitality industry as well, too. Steve spent many, many years working for Starwood Marriott Resorts, right? A place where you'll learn a thing or two about customer service, a place where you'll learn a thing or two about separating a guest from a $28 pork chop. We're going to talk about all those things Steve has learned. We're going to talk about his campaign as well, too, for Pima County Supervisor District 1. When we come back after the break, you are listening to Grant Krueger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break with Steve Spain. Hey, there is Jump Into the Fire by Harry Nilsson over there. A great tune. I happens to be on the helicopter scene on Goodfellas over there at the very end of one of my most favorite movies. And we were talking about the tail end of the restaurant business over here. There's a lot of correlation with Goodfellas, with the scenes after the Lufthansa heist when all those dead bodies start stacking up. And that's what might happen, unfortunately, to us in the full service restaurant world as well, too, if we aren't careful about some of these ballot initiatives that are coming our way. But speaking of the service industry, right, we've got a veteran out of hotels, a veteran in politics over here joining us, candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 1, Mr. Steve Spain. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me in. I'm excited to be on the radio with you today.
Thanks for coming. We're excited to have you here on Jump In Tucson. We haven't heard a whole lot about the campaign yet for Supervisor District 1, but this is a big one. This is a pretty important race in Pima County.
Well, this is a very important race for a few reasons. You know, District 1 traditionally has been far more conservative. District 1 has been, well, for a very long time, the highest revenue generating district for Pima County. And I really, it pains me to use that word when we're talking about taxation and taking from you, from me, from our neighbors and calling that revenue. But that's how the county works. District 1 really is important to the success of Pima County in general. That's where we've got a supervisor now who in his first term has gone to great lengths to make life worse for everybody in Pima County. And I'm sure we'll get into that as the hour progresses here, but it's we need to take District 1 back and get sanity back into Pima County. And if we can do that, if we can keep Steve Christie in District 4, if we can get either Corey Stevens in District 2 or Jael Wittenbraker in 3, or both would be even better, and possibly even Val Romero in 5, we can start to make some real progress on improving the situation in Pima County. But District 1 really is a linchpin because of the problem that we have there now.
Now, District 1 is a pretty close, very competitive district as well, too. For the listeners that don't recognize Steve's name, he ran for the seat in 2020 against incumbent Rex Scott, and this was an incredibly close election. I think it was 50.2 to 49.7%, about as close statistically as you can make. A few hundred votes separated you from having been Pima County supervisor over the last 4 years.
Yeah, out of 165,000 or so votes, it was a delta of exactly 730, and that number will stick with me the rest of my days. I will never forget that number. It was very, very close, and it was a difficult election year. It was right in the midst of COVID. I had never done this before. I to this day, don't have political aspirations. This isn't that I want to go out and hold office. No, I'm looking at this very much as service, and you know, we'll get into some of the service industry background, but that kind of defines how I grew up and what my life has always been. It's been very service focused. I do a lot of volunteerism, have for many years, and I see this very much as an opportunity to serve this community where I've grown up, that I very deeply love. You know, this is my home. I was born and raised in Green Valley. Yes, there are like 7 of us who were born down there, I know. But born and raised in Green Valley, went to the U of A. I have zero desire ever to go anyplace cold climate. I've been very blessed that I've been able to build a good, solid career from here. But it's because this is where I want to be. And I want to see better for Pima County than what we're getting now. We're getting deficit spending, we're getting crippling debt, we're getting terrible budgets that don't help advance those ideals that should embody Pima County. We've got work to do, and I'm willing to help to get that done.
We certainly do, Steve. We've got a lot of work to do. I saw that you're also an Eller graduate as well, too.
I am.
Myself as well, an Eller graduate. Thank you again for sticking around in Tucson. We had a whole show about a month ago with another Eller graduate that was talking about ways we could incentivize our best and brightest that come out of the U of A to stick around and set up their roots, create their own businesses, and raise their families here in Pima County.
I've been blessed, as I said, that I've been able to do a lot of the work of my career remotely. I spent a number of years running the IT shop at the Westin La Paloma and a couple of other hotels here in town under my Starwood days, and then was able to transition to the divisional management team, but work from my home here in Tucson. Because the economy has changed a bit, because work has changed a bit, we've got so much more opportunity for remote work. But what we're doing to property values, what we're doing to housing pricing here is making it harder for those graduates to make that choice to stay and to see this as a viable place to live, because we're doing the exact antithesis of what we should be to make it livable. And yet you hear that Democrat majority on the board constantly, constantly harping that we don't have affordable housing in this community, and yet everything they do, every dollar they spend, just makes housing more unaffordable, more expensive, less attainable, and further out of the reach of those college graduates coming out today. We're doing it wrong, and I'm happy to be a part of changing that, fixing that, and improving it for those grads.
So you spent 14 years, it looks like, with Starwood and Marriott. That's a long time in the service and hospitality industry. Tell us about the life skills that you picked up in that career path and how that's going to translate to your success as Pima County supervisor.
You know, I look back on that with a lot of fondness. I graduated with a dual major in information technology and operations management. My focus from a very young age, just an embarrassingly young age, has been in tech and computers, and it's what I've done for far too long. And I knew that as I got out of school, I would be in that IT field. I stumbled into hospitality quite by accident and absolutely fell in love with it. I so enjoyed, even on a rough morning, you know, a flat tire and this didn't work and that didn't work, whatever. It didn't matter what the heck, you know, Mr. Coffee's dead, right? You walk in and you see that view of the Catalinas from the front entrance of La Paloma and you go, you know what? it's going to be a good day. It was such a great place to work. I had so much fun with the people there. There was one embarrassing incident, we'll say. I was working on a kitchen line printer, and I don't know what happened with the staff down there, but they didn't have an expediter for all of a couple of minutes. I didn't even know what the heck an expediter did, but you know, need to verify that the dish is right before it goes out to the table. Chef looks at me and says, Spain, get over there and check that. Yeah, I need you to expedite. I'm going, you know what? Huh, what? Look at the plate. There's food on the plate. What do you want from me? Spain, get out of here. Fix my printer and leave. They got somebody else in to expedite. It was hilarious. It was funny, but I had so much fun working with all of our staff. Culinary is, these guys are just a hoot, and I enjoyed my time there on property. And of course, then parlayed that into working above property and serving at one point over 150 hotels throughout the Americas and a couple in Europe and Asia as well. It was a great time. It was a great career. I had a lot of fun in hospitality. I love that service aspect. I love working with even our guests. Sometimes it's the internal guests, the staff. Sometimes it's those outside guests. It's, you just make fun with the day, every day, and make the most of every encounter, every interaction you have. It's great. It's a great industry.
No, I love the service industry, and I'm always harping about, you know, both how great, but also how difficult it can be as well, too, in Pima County. And of course, the most of the current Board of Supervisors had a pretty heavy hand in squashing large parts of the service industry over the last 3 or 4 years in Pima County as well, too.
Oh, gosh. The COVID lockdowns were beyond crippling. And when you look at a broader economic situation where we've got what is by far the worst inflation of my lifetime and the worst that many folks remember at this point, you really should be thoughtful about what you do at lower levels of government. You don't necessarily control the central bank, but you sure control aspects that impact the local economy. And again, everything these folks have done has made it much more difficult to live here in Pima County. They've made it harder for those workers that we need in the service industry to make a living for themselves. And then that parlays into higher costs to our businesses, which parlays into higher costs we pass on to other folks who are struggling to live here in Pima County. And it's this terrible domino effect that the folks on the Board of Supervisors seem to be totally ignorant of. And yet it's blatantly obvious. I feel it. I assume, Grant, you feel it. I know our listeners right now feel it. It's been a rough 4 years. Why are we just piling on to it? Why are we making it worse in Pima County?
No, these are very fair questions to ask, Steve. It's something that concerns me, and I think it concerns an awful lot of the business community here in Southern Arizona as well, too. And these sort of conditions make it a not desirable place to set up roots and to grow your business. And it's why we see so many youth from the University of Arizona moving up to, say, the Phoenix metro market. And we see successful business operations as well, too, immediately start their expansion further north of us to a city that might be perhaps a little more business friendly.
A lot more business friendly. And then we end up feeling kind of abandoned. We become, even when we've had businesses that have launched here and moved up, we kind of become that redheaded stepchild. And there's no reason that Tucson should be second class, right? There's no reason that Pima County should be treated as something behind Phoenix, right? We've got the talent in this town. We've got the people in this town to excel and to exceed what they can do in Phoenix. But we've got local government that won't let us get there. And it's frustrating to no end. It genuinely upsets me. I want better for my hometown.
As do I. I understand that you've spent the last couple of years as a senior project engineer for Syncardia.
I did spend some time. That was a little bit of an interesting diversion in the career, working in the biomedical industry and actually working on the engineering side, much less the IT side. I have flipped back to hospitality, but that was fascinating. That was a great learning experience.
And for those that don't know, Syncardia produces an artificial heart, right? Well, the Pima County Board of Supervisors is the heart of Pima County and Southern Arizona as well, too. And so when we come back after the break, we're going to break this down a little bit more with Steve. What's coming up in the primary? What's coming up in this election on November 5th? It's a really important talk. This is Steve Spain and Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. Arizona. You're listening to Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. We are live with Steve Spain, candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 1 here in our Bustos Media Studios. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you very much, Grant.
So we were talking about the election, right? Steve is running for Pima County Supervisor. There is a primary on July 30th, and those ballots will get mailed out on July 3rd. At the moment, you do not, as a Republican candidate, have a challenge in the primary. Is that correct?
That is correct. As it stands now, I am the only candidate on the Republican primary, which saves some consternation on my part. That's definitely a good thing. And that affords me more time to be out there talking with individual voters and driving home this message that we got a problem in the board. It's not just that we've got an incumbent who's lazy, who does nothing. No, we've got an active problem on the board with what this guy's been supporting, with what Rex Scott has been voting for, what he's been enacting in Pima County. We've got an active problem that is making life worse for all of us, and it's time to retire him once and for all and resolve that problem.
No, I can appreciate the message over there, and it's certainly a concerning history over the last 4 years with what we've seen out of the Pima County Board of Supervisors as well, too. In the absence of a primary, how do you think this affects your campaign? Last time you ran, this was a four-horse race in the primary, right? Vic Williams and Bill Beard and Rhonda Pena were all going against you, and there was a lot of division amongst the Republican Party. Do you think that by being the only candidate up front on this one, you're going to be able to galvanize what can be a somewhat divided Republican Party?
I don't know that 4 years ago the four of us were that divided. I think we all had a somewhat different perspective on things. I came in with the passion and the fire that I bring to pretty much everything I do. I'm not going to do something if I'm not going to get behind it. And really drove home that message that we need some fiscal responsibility. We need to carry on the work that Allie Miller had been doing as far as tearing into the finances of the county and making it responsible. And it resonated. It must have been the right message at the right time. And I'm grateful for that opportunity I had 4 years ago. And like I said earlier, it was such a narrow miss. It was just by a shave that we missed it at the ballot box in November of 2020. This time around, it really is a mixed bag, not having the primary, because it changes how I'm able to get a message out. I'm not in those initial debates where we've got the refining of the Republican ideals for Pima County for District 1. It's now, look, here's the problem. Here's what we can do to solve it. And making sure that we draw attention to that, it's harder to get the attention because we don't have that primary race, but the message still lands and people are getting it. It's amazing some of the conversations I'm having with folks when we start to talk about the budget and the deficits here in Pima County alone. Light bulbs go on, eyes get opened, and people get really concerned when we start talking about the budget numbers.
So what difference do you think it would make with a Republican becoming supervisor District 1 where you would have two Republicans and three Democrats? It's currently right now, for listeners, a 4-1 advantage with Steve Christie being the only registered Republican on the Board of Supervisors and, in fact, one of the only ones in government in all of southern Arizona. Saying in, like, Robert's Rules of Order, could you bring a first and a second and bring some more ideas up to the table to discuss at the dais? Like, what difference would that make when you still wouldn't have the majority?
Well, this is the same question from last time, but what I will say about that, and I've said this repeatedly throughout this campaign in many different public forums, is that I firmly believe that we've got the best slate of candidates on the Republican side that I've ever seen for Pima County. I mean, we've got fantastic folks, and I genuinely believe one or both of Corey in D2 and JL in D3 will make it on there as well. I think we're going to have that majority come January of next year when they swear everybody in. If by some freak chance we don't, the answer that I would give to that is the same as I did 4 years ago. Yes, we've got that ability to get a motion, get a second, and at least have discussion as far as Robert's rules go. And we're going to have to fight. If that's the case, we would have to fight against a chair of the board who would be averse to that and who would try to prevent the motion, prevent the seconds. I'm not afraid of getting in front of a camera. I'm not afraid of crossing over the dais and grabbing a reporter by the collar and saying, get over here, we got to talk. I'm very, very willing to get into the local media and work a message out there one way or the other, however I can, through what we know is an adverse local news media. And I want to, I will caveat that. We've got editorial folks who really don't want a conservative message to get out, but it's amazing how many individual reporters I've run into who are just interested in getting to the truth of the matter. And I think if we get our hands on some of them, get a message out to them and show them, look, here's the reality. Here are the numbers. Here's the problem. I think we can start to get a message out. So it may be a long game that we have to play. It may be something beyond this first four-year term if we can't get that majority. But I'm telling you, I think we will. And I promise, as soon as we get that majority, the hard work starts. Everybody on the Republican side who's in the race for a supervisor seat this year is well-versed in what's going on, very committed to starting to fix the problems from day one and investing the hard work to get it done.
So you've got a rematch coming up, and this looks to be like a real year of rematches, because there's this other little rematch that maybe a few listeners have heard out over there in this Donald Trump, Joe Biden thing. What do you think it means to be a Republican candidate down ballot on a potential Trump ticket?
However you view the 2020 election, there was a great deal of effort the media put forth to foment anger against Trump. And I do think that had some down ballot effects. And when you're talking about a race that was within a half a percent, one could say that, yeah, that was what cost us District 1. Could have been any number of different factors, but that's a potential. What you've seen, though, for the last 4 years is disastrous foreign policy, disastrous domestic policy, disastrous economic policy. The federal government has made a real hash of things. And we've seen the same kind of behaviors, the same fundamental principles underlying the policies here at the local level. And people are feeling the pain and we're fed up with it. So my hope is that after 4 years of a mess, that pendulum will have swung pretty hard back the other way. And I'm hoping that that will actually come in and help a bit. But I'm not counting on that. There's a lot of work to be done to win this race. I'm not in this for fun. I'm not in this because I just want the experience of campaigning. I'm in this to get a job done for Pima County. And that means I've got to work to get to that point. I'm willing to do it. I'm doing it. That's why I'm here.
Is there any polling data out there in any capacity on your race? I read in the paper yesterday, and I, you know, prefaced that with reading it in the paper in the Daily Star. Doesn't certainly make this fact, but they were saying that Trump was up 6 points in Arizona. Carrie Lake, they were saying, was down 3 points to Ruben Gallego. Is there any polling on the supervisor races at all that you could share? Has that happened yet?
If there is, it's not stuff I'm paying much attention to because I don't expect, I mean, you're not going to have the big national polling organizations ask that question most likely. And I'm not expecting any local entity that might try to do one to be as well balanced statistically. So it's not something I'm going to pay attention to. Like I said, I've got my campaign strategies. I've got my methodologies that I will continue to do whatever a poll comes out and says, because we've got voters to touch. We've got a message that they need to hear, and I'm going to get it in front of them.
So, Steve, you must have a website, a way for our listeners to reach out to you to learn more about Steve Spain as well, too.
We've got a number of ways to get a hold of me. My campaign website is votestevespain.com, and that's Spain just like the country, S-P-A-I-N, real easy. And you can reach me via email, steve@votestevespain.com, or pick up your phone, 520-305-9469. I actually do answer that phone. So any way that a constituent wants to get a hold of me, I am happy to have the conversation.
It sounds like we've got a really impressive race coming up. It was razor tight last time. If you listen to the first segment, it was a 730 vote difference. And so if you split that in half, if half the votes of that had gone the other way, you're talking only a few hundred voters made the difference in Pima County District 1. And those district boundaries are changing as well, too, correct?
Yeah, so when they redistricted after the 2020 census, they did move things around a little bit. They took... Go ahead. Yeah, they took some good meat out of the town of Marana that was in District 1 and moved that off to District 3. But basically, on the west side of the district, if you follow kind of Dove Mountain Boulevard down and then towards Thornydale, basically, that gives you your west perimeter. Take that down to River. There are tiny little shards of the city of Tucson just south of River Road that are actually in District 1. But it basically follows River over towards about Sabino Canyon. Kind of the Bear Canyon Road area. Snyder and Houghton is on the east side of District 1. And then it comes up and follows along the foothills. So the Catalinas are actually District 4, but it follows along the foothills, goes up through Oro Valley to Catalina to the county line, and then back west to, like I said, Dove Mountain Boulevard area. And that's pretty much the long and short of District 1. Oro Valley is entirely within D1, and then a lot of unincorporated bits and just tiny little bits of Tucson and tiny little bits of Marana.
This sounds like a very purple part of Tucson for sure. When we come back after the break, we're going to ask Steve about some of his solutions to the homeless problem if he were supervisor in District 1. You're listening to Jump in Tucson with Grant Kruger and Steve Spain on 1030 AM. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to our final segment of Jump in Tucson on this wonderful Wednesday morning, May 15th. We are live with Pima County Supervisor candidate Steve Spain, and we've got a caller on the line. Doug's got a question for Steve.
Hey, Steve, you're exactly right about the last election and the down ballot thing. And we did my company did the advertising for Pima County Republican Party. And, you know, it affected the election. It affected your race. It affected even us losing Sheriff Napier. So that was very difficult. But my question has to do with your relationship with Steve Christie. Back in the day when Allie was supervisor and Ray Carroll was there, Chuck Huckleberry was very good at dividing the two of them, and I was involved in trying to reconcile the two of them, had meetings, and it just never happened. So because they were so divided, it made them more ineffective. So my question is, what kind of relationship do you have with Steve, and what are you planning to do about that once you're in office?
Doug, thank you for calling in, and it's great to hear your voice again. I think it's been about 4 years since last I'd seen you. I got to tell you, I had my opinions about Steve Christie when he initially ran, and I am not too proud to say I was absolutely wrong. And I have told him to his face multiple times, not just during this second attempt at this, not during this campaign, but even before, I am so grateful that he is on that dais. I am so grateful that he is there, and I am so grateful that he is holding the line and doing a very solid job of it. So I hope that from his side, he feels that I have made amends and patched that up. I respect the guy. I am so happy that he's there. I very much look forward to being able to learn a bit from him. He's been through the ringer now for a couple of terms. He can hopefully would be willing to give me some guidance as well as the junior member on that team. I would hope to be able to learn a great deal from him. But like I said, I think right now the best way to characterize my feelings towards him, absolutely gratitude.
I think
I know he would. I mean, he was on the show yesterday, and one of the things he said is that I knew him back when he was a car salesman, when he was, before Steve Christie, it was Galloway Motors. That was his stepfather's dealership. And he said, look, as a car salesman, I don't have thin skin. And so I think you're going to find that Steve will be more than willing to help. Well, I appreciate you guys, and of course, I'm going to be supporting you in this election.
Doug, I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Doug. Great to hear your voice, sir. So, Steve, we've got a couple minutes left here in this segment, and I wanted to talk a bit about solutions, right? It's easy to talk about problems. It's easy to bang about what everybody's not doing right. But can you give our listeners a few ideas you might have for solutions that if you were on the Board of Supervisors, what would you do different about, say, the homeless crisis right now, a problem that's affecting everybody in Tucson?
It's amazing how this Democrat majority on the board continues to bang this drum that we've got a crisis in affordable housing, and then they turn around and do things that are exactly antithetical to fixing it. If you drive around District 1 and nearby areas in the periphery, you're going to find thousands of new rooftops that have come up in these past few years. A lot of those are high density, right? Not all of those are being put in places where high density is appropriate. And I know we've got a problem with the Quail Valley Golf Club that that, you know, has gone away. They have approved some new development in there that's just not appropriate for the area. They don't have the infrastructure to deal with the cars that are going to be in and out. That should not have happened. And there's a whole other story there I'd love to get into another time. When you've got all of these new housing units coming online, if you were to allow the free market to do what the free market does, and this is proven, we've seen this over history, what you would find is that housing prices would come down. Increased supply, same demand, housing prices come down, right? Now, yes, demand has increased a little bit too, but we're still to a point where we've got thousands of new housing units coming online. This should be pushing housing costs down. It's not. Why is it not? Because we've got deficit spending in this county that is unchecked, that is absolutely beyond what I would ever have imagined for Pima County. As far as I'm concerned, Pima County has zero reason running a deficit at all. They're spending, on average for the past 4 years, about 23% more than what they're actually receiving. That comes due. And how do we recoup that? Well, we're going to have to raise taxes. And they have been. They have been increasing the primary property tax rate. Well, now for 24-25, they're talking about increasing the primary and secondary tax rates because of the quagmire they've created. To the point, if you go back to last Tuesday's board meeting and listen to the audio, I almost fell off of my seat when I heard Adelita Grijalva make the comment that our tax rate is too high and that it is regressive and that it is hurting the lowest income sectors of this community. And you just stand there listening to this with your jaw agape going, you've created this mess. You've created this mess. You have driven this. You have made it more expensive to live here. This is your fault. Don't start complaining about it now. So a number of us candidates have been banging the drum. Let's sell off some of this property that Pima County owns that it doesn't need and use that to start paying down some of the deficit. Well, son of a gun, they voted to sell off a little bit of property last week too. Go figure, right? So it gives me a little bit of hope that our message is resonating and that it's sticking with constituents, with voters, that they're starting to get it, that, yeah, we've got a problem here. So back to the homeless matter. As these new properties come online, if we would allow them to drive the cost of housing down, you would see a whole tier of folks who have been forced from their homes by a terrible economy that would be able to get back into housing. Conversely, you've got another issue. Well, you've got a few other issues that are on the more criminal side of things, where we've got fentanyl coming in right and left, and we've got policy from the Board of Supervisors that just wants to keep the borders open and feed that stuff. We've got a county attorney that's not prosecuting the crime. We've got so many other issues there that we also need to address, that we need to resolve, more than unfortunately we have time to talk about today. But it really does take a holistic look at the county. And again, I can promise you, this slate of candidates we've got, we are talking about this amongst ourselves. We are talking about this in our campaign stops. We're listening to what the public has to say about it. We're looking for those solutions. We want to bring those to Pima County. That's what we're here to do.
A fascinating conversation with Steve Spain, candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 1. Steve, thank you so much for coming and joining us today on Jump In Tucson. You can find Steve's website at votestevespain.com. That's Spain as in the country, if I've got that one correctly, over there as well, too. Thank you, listeners, for joining in as well, too, on Jump In Tucson. It's been a great and fascinating conversation with you this morning. You are listening to Grant Krueger on 10:30 a.m., The Voice, your home for local news and talk.